We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Labatt Studio for quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, sitting in for Dustin along with Greg Pickle, beat writer for Penn Live. Penn State follows the Penn State football team very closely. Quarter number four is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club Wine. Go to tailgatewine.com and you can see their great collection of wines. And best of all, the winner of the best question gets a free bottle of Tailgate Wine. You ready to roll, Greg?
Let's do it.
All right. How about this? Our first questioner from Berwick.
That's right.
Just a little personal bias there. And Steve from Berwick says, maybe we could get number 90 from Iowa to shore up our receiving core. What do you think? Anyway, seriously, do you think our young defense is gaining confidence and can carry the team to a 10-win season? Love your show, especially because here in Richmond, all we hear about is Vatech and UVA.
And neither one of them is much worth talking about this time.
No,
of year.
They aren't.
No, it's a good question. I think that the one concern I have, Jim, is that can this defense get some confidence and carry Penn State to 10 wins? Sure, I think that's definitely possible. But the biggest concern in my mind is the number of snaps they played the last 2 weeks, and is that going to catch up to them against Michigan or against Wisconsin? If not, then, I mean, obviously Maryland and Rutgers look like they'll be cakewalks at this point. So you just got to win the next two or one of the next two and then win the bowl game to get 10 wins. And is it doable? Absolutely it is. Is it likely? Well, clearly not based on the point spread. But this group is gaining confidence. There's no question about that. Just a little bit leery about whether or not they're going to hit the wall here coming down the stretch.
Is the number of plays that are on the field worth having the offensive coaching staff say, hey, wait a minute, we need to control the ball a little more? Or do they just say, here's what we do, and it's what we're going to keep doing?
Well, I mean, I think that the biggest problem right now is think about how many incomplete passes they've had, how many, you know, three and outs they have. Jim, how many times it was the average down and distance on third down for Penn State was 3rd and 7. It's not a winning formula at all. So I think that's been the biggest problem and why the offense hasn't been on the field that much, because they can't move the chains on third down, because first and second down have been pretty atrocious the last couple of weeks.
And if you're 2nd and 10 and you choose to throw low percentage balls, you're probably right. Going to get 3rd and 10.
Exactly.
All right. This is not exactly a question, but it's one of my favorite listeners, Mike, who sends me emails and just to talk what goes on. I think we saw a football team grow up a little bit today.
Fair.
Stressful, but I really think they made some improvements today against a good team. Your thoughts, Greg?
No, I completely agree. I mean, that Iowa team, look, if it has a better quarterback, Jim, I think it probably wins the football game, and we're not framing it that way. I mean, Nate Stanley just was not very good. So, you know, there's a part of me that says if Penn State loses the game, or if Nick Scott doesn't come up with an interception on the 3-yard line on 1st and goal, we're having a completely different conversation right now. But you know what? You have to make plays to make steps forward. You have to grow up, you know, making turnovers and getting turnovers that close to the goal line. That is, I think, a best thing about growing up. So, you know what? At the end of the day, yeah, I completely agree that they did definitely make a step forward. They have to certainly continue to take more of them, though, moving forward.
And to your point about making plays late in the game, and I've probably said this to 10 different people, Amani O holds on to an interception right in his hands. We're having a very different conversation totally.
Right.
We have a one-loss Penn State team that's ranked, what, 5th, 6th?
Yep.
And it's an entirely different conversation. So that ability to make a play in the end, it does make a difference. All right, let's go to Jeffrey from Portland, Oregon. First off, I'd like to give some props to Dustin being a great host. I know this will do me zero favors with scoring some wine.
Especially because he's not here.
But it needs to be said. Exactly. Jeffrey, you picked the wrong week to compliment Dustin. But I'll at least ask your question. After seeing what the Fighting Fitzgeralds did to the Badgers last weekend, has your perception changed regarding the Wolverines' resume? Is their signature win Michigan State or Northwestern?
Whew. That's a good question. And we're also missing Dustin.
Oh, it's not all that good.
We're getting ready to we were also missing Dustin, you know, pile on Northwestern and Pat Fitzgerald. So that's another shame. It's a fair question. You go back and look at Nebraska. So Michigan's beat Nebraska. That's not a signature win. They beat Maryland. That certainly isn't a signature win. I can't call Michigan State a signature win. I just can't. I'm sorry. That team is going to lose a couple more times, I think. That's not... You know, Wisconsin, I think at the time it looked like a really good win. Now they don't look very good. So I guess it's Northwestern, but it's a really good point. They don't have one huge resume building win because they lost to Notre Dame in the games for, in the first season of the game, or rather the first game of the season.
Exactly. And just as a quick aside, you mentioned Wisconsin. Uh-huh. You thought it would be a good win, but disappointing. How many teams are there like this throughout the country? Washington turned out disappointing. How about that? Remember Washington, Auburn playing early? We thought that might be a playoff preview or yep. playoff elimination game. Well, both teams have three losses, I believe.
Yes, correct.
So there are teams throughout the country who have been let down, Wisconsin being one of them. All right, let's move on. Here is Frank from Warminster. Dirty Frank is his email address, which nice. I always have to say. I love that. But Frank... ask a question near and dear to my heart. Greg, why aren't the recruiting rankings based on quality instead of quantity?
Is that it?
Well, I edit it. You don't need to hear the rest. But.
Got it. You know what? It's a fair, you know, so you can actually look at the rankings if you go on to 247. I'm not sure if Rivals does it, but 247's rankings do break down by average star rating, which is probably a better way of looking at the recruiting classes. Quite frankly, I don't know why. I don't know why they're not great at that way. I mean, it doesn't seem to make a whole heck of a lot of sense. But I mean, at the end of the day, the best classes typically are the higher. You know, the other thing I would say though is that the average star rating and the point system, they generally even out to be about the same. Which is to say that the best classes are typically the highest star rated ones. So yeah, go ahead.
And it takes a while to get there in the beginning,
right?
Where they rank. Even if you have 25 recruits, they just rank the top 20,
right.
correct?
Yep.
So if your team has 13 recruits and the other guy's team has 19 or 20, they're going to be ahead. But eventually, you're probably going to get your 20 recruits.
Right.
And then it kind of evens out.
Yeah, so Penn State would be number 7 at this point in average star rating, according to the 247 Sports Composite. They're number 13 in the point system that 247 uses. So, I mean... it's not too far off, and I do think by the end of it, Jim, that you know when we get to December in the signing period, that things will pretty much even out by that point in time.
Okay, very good. Now, Anthony from McAllisterville, PA. Greg, president of the Trace McSorley Apologist Club. Listening to everyone's analysis of PSU offense, everyone places the blame on the receivers for not getting open for Trace. While it might be true, I'd also like to put some of the blame on Trace for not throwing the receivers open. Seems unless there's a receiver clearly open, Trace will pull it down and run. How much of this do you put on Trace?
I would say, I don't know, maybe 30 or 40% of the problems. I mean, I think it's a fair point for sure that Trace McSorley has not necessarily been as accurate as he has been in years past, and he has certainly seems to pull it down and run more than he has. But I think that one of the reasons for that, Jim, might simply be the fact that you know, he can say to his blue in the face that he trusts all of his receivers, but it's probably hard to trust him outside of KJ Hamler. So it's probably more split than we make it out to be, but I do think that some of it definitely falls on him.
And I'll tell you what, and it may be just the end result and we look back at it, but
right.
because there's incompletions and drop passes, I've noticed more and more, I don't think Trace has been as accurate as he has been. And I'm not sure he's made all the best decisions. We talked earlier in the show about using Miles Sanders.
Right.
And it does look at times that Sanders has been out on the flat as a
just
safety valve.
Look to him, yeah.
And then they throw the ball somewhere else. And I've already seen the graphics where the announcers will circle everybody. Look, nobody's open. Nobody could get separation. And they don't point to Miles Sanders standing alone.
Right.
And definitely a safety valve.
Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of reminds you of the Eagles at times. If anyone would, if it's any Eagles fans that listen, I mean, Carson Wentz likes to throw instead of like taking a, you know, he could take like a 4 yard check down on third and two, and instead he likes to go for the 40 yard pass that sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. And I think that sometimes Trace McSorley falls into that category too, where he doesn't look for the little flip that might turn into 4, 5, 6 yards. And I get it. Sometimes we're talking third down throws, but there certainly seems to be, or it feels like there's times he could do a little bit more in the passing game.
And I'll go back to the Ohio State game where everyone talks fourth and five. Earlier in that series, low percentage pass, deep pass. It looked like that was the only receiver Trace was looking at. If that was the play call,
yeah,
it was the wrong play call. And if that's the, you know, where Trace has options and that was his best option, there's no way it could have been the best option. So I see what you're saying. All right, let's move on. Let's get to as many as we can. How about we go to Dave in Reading? Dave asks, are there any linebackers pushing for more time, or more directly, anyone ready to take snaps from underwhelming Koa Farmer?
Well, you know, I think we saw Ellis Brooks out there for probably the most snaps of his time at Penn State in this game. And if you go over and look at the snap counts that our buddy Steve provided to us, and Farmer is still out there for – only Cam Brown played more snaps at linebacker than Koa Farmer did. Him and Jan Johnson played about 50 snaps each compared to 43 for Micah Parsons and 22 for Ellis Brooks. So – you know, I think the problem is that Koa and Jan, you can, you know, a lot of people want to pile on those guys, and that's fine. But if Micah and Ellis Brooks and some of these other guys were earning more snaps, Jim, they'd be getting them. I mean, I think a lot of people like want to just assume that the other, you know, that it's kind of the grass is green on the other side argument. And sometimes that's true, and sometimes it's not. And I, in this situation, I just don't necessarily think it's true. I just think that those guys still have some growing up to do. You're seeing them get more and more snaps, Jim, but I don't know if they're necessarily ready for a whole bunch of snaps just yet.
Well, I think also there's an issue as fans. That's me. I'm a fan. I watch the game on TV, and you see a blatant play, and there was one where out in the open, Koa Farmer, a running back, and he just whiffed, didn't lay a hand on the guy, and that sticks out. And we don't really know when guys are missing assignments and doing the other things wrong. We see one play like that, and we pass judgment. Greg, it's time to look for a winner.
It is. What a good list of questions this week. Thanks, everyone, for submitting them. And I am going to go with Anthony from McAllisterville. Thought his question about Trace McSorley and how much of the blame is on him was something a lot of people are wondering about this week as Penn State gets ready to head to Michigan, where it will need everything firing on all cylinders, Trace McSorley and his receivers.
That's it. You're exactly right. Everything has to go right for them to win on the road. Let's see if they can do it. That's it for our show. Be with us next time, and it'll be Greg and I again. See you then.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.